Good morning.
Please turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 9 through 15. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are holy. You are worthy of our praise. Father, we praise you for this text. We praise you for those that you've raised up to give us your word. And we praise you for preserving it and bringing it to our hearing today. Father, your word is powerful. Your word is mighty. Your word is active. Let it do the work that you have intended for it to do in our hearts. Prepare our hearts. Open our ears. Father, put your message in my mouth so when I open my mouth, it is what you have to say that comes out. Help me to be small in this and for your word to be bold. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I have no idea what I'm going to say today. This is a difficult text. You kind of feel like you're walking into the end of a story, right? Tychicus, who's that? Carpu? We're at the end of Paul's eternal exhortation for Timothy to preach the word, and now we're into the end, his last words here. Do your best, do thy diligence to come soon. Why? Because Demas has left. The Romans were allowed to have two slaves with them in prison even. That was interesting to read about. Luke alone was with him, and Demas apparently left, so he's down to just Luke. Demas, in love, agape, with this present or current age, has turned back. Maybe has been turned over, we're not sure, and gone to Thessalonica. So now, here we are in the new text, Crescens has gone to Galatia. He might have been one of the 72 that was sent out 2 by 2. We're not sure. I'm going to go through these quickly, so bear with me. Galatia, that's where Paul had his first letter, remember? Oh, foolish Galatians. So there's some issues there that Crescens is going to. Titus, we know a lot about him. There's a letter written to him. Between the two letters to Timothy, Paul writes to Titus. And Titus is going to Dalmatia, which is on the edge of kind of where Paul had gone on his missionary journeys. We know Luke, the beloved doctor, and he's with Paul. So sitting in this prison apparently is about 2/3 of the authorship of the New Testament. That's interesting to think about. Get Mark. This is John Mark, who there was a whole beef, maybe some of you remember. He had abandoned the ministry at one point, went back to Jerusalem. But now Paul says, bring him with you. Why? For he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I wasn't as familiar with that name, but he's all over Scripture. He's in, at the end of Ephesians, at the end of Colossians, at the end of Titus, here in Timothy. And he was a trusted envoy. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble. I think of Demas there. But a faithful envoy brings healing. I think of Tychicus here. Paul says, when you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. And I kind of lump that all together. This isn't something to be dogmatic about, but some of the context clues are Paul may have been arrested in Troas, left his stuff with Carpus. If you go back to the first chapter, I think it's verse 4, I saw you with tears. Remember Timothy's tears? You can imagine those tears as Paul's hauled away. Here's my stuff, because they'll just confiscate it. And he leaves it with Carpus at Troas. And the informant might have been Alexander. I don't think the Alexander's from previous text. He's in Acts and 1 Timothy because it says specifically the coppersmith. I think this is a different Alexander. Did me great harm suggests it being turned in, an informant kind of deal there. And the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or desperately sick. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and will repay each man according to his deeds. And there's a warning here to beware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. So what are we going to talk about? What do you want to talk about? End of watch. That's the title of this sermon. And maybe some context for why end of watch. Is that like the end of the movie? The end? And roll credits? No. End of watch is something that's used in service. Those who are in service, military, police, the end of watch, the end of the shift. The one who's watching is handing over the shift notes to the incoming shift. You see that? And it's something that's also used at funerals, especially for police officers that are killed in the line of duty. The Sarge, his end of watch, but we're going to carry the torch. We are going to carry on. End of watch implies a mission going forward. End of watch implies that you are part of a continuous story. End of watch is the end of your watch, not the end of the mission. You have a tour of duty. People come home from a tour of duty, but the war goes on. That's end of watch. And that's what's going on here. Look at it. These are shift notes that Paul is handing over to Timothy. It's the end of his watch, and Timothy's watch is about to start, at least where he takes the leadership. So let's take kind of a big picture here. All right, end of watch. Okay, the mission goes on. What's Paul's focus? Look at all the names. All the names. Paul is thinking about people. End of watch. And this is who is doing that. This guy's going over there. Look out for that guy. Alexander's the perp. He was seen on the corner of Washington and Main Street about 2 hours ago. Be on the lookout. You get a sense of that? Paul's focus is on people. And he's telling Timothy, your focus needs to be on people. There's a mission, and this is a team sport. I was reading about Gideon recently. And, you know, the Gideon's 300. We remember that, right? I think it was like 22,000 that he started with, and they whittled it down to 10,000. And, oh, no, that's not going to do. We need less. Oh, less. That's interesting. We need less. We need you to go out and have them drink from the water, drink from the stream. Remember that? And so we get it down to 300 so that God's glory would be seen, so that Israel wouldn't take credit for the victory. Well, that begs a question. Why 300? Does God need 300? Does he need 200? Does he need 100? Does he need anybody? Moses, he has his arms lifted up as Joshua's fighting the Amalekites, Aaron and Hur helping him. Why does God do that? Why does God have a guy with a staff and that's the way that he's going to have Israel win? Why does he send prophets? Why does he send apostles? Why doesn't he just talk to us directly? Well, he kind of does, right? We have his word. But ministry is a team sport. It takes a team because that's what God decided to do. That's how he decided to operate. Paul knows that. We see all these letters that Paul has written, and now he kind of pulled back the veil a little bit. And you see, actually, there is a whole team involved here. Actually, Paul even says he needs people to come to him. He needs help. We need each other. This is a team sport. And as Paul's looking for comfort, I was looking at the prison, that the Mamertine prison in Rome. That's where Paul was believed to be, and also where Peter went. Actually, it's interesting. Mark, he does end up going there, but it's with Peter. And it's a dark place. I kind of wonder how is it that Paul would read these books? I mean, it must have been by candlelight because there's no sunlight. And it's a place that Paul would be looking for visitors, looking for comfort. And you see a little bit there in verse 13. Remember that cloak that I left when I was being arrested? And please don't be dogmatic about that. That's just what I think. I think that's where he was arrested. I think that's what happened. I don't know. But he says, bring the cloak, the books, and the parchments. And you can see where each one's elevated here. The cloak, also the books, but above all, the parchments. And this isn't, parchments are, they're made out of animal skin. It's a rather expensive material, and it's not something you're going to write your grocery list on. This is something that's going to have something important. I believe, we don't know, that this is scripture. Old Testament writings. As some of you might know, Paul attended the Pharisee Harvard. Gamaliel taught under Gamaliel. And there's some comments that Gamaliel made about Paul and how studious he was, that he was always reading. The books probably are other authors. We know that at least they're different and they're lower than the parchments, the books, but above all, and I think the all includes that whole list and the people. Like, okay, if you can't bring Mark, at least bring me some scripture. That's what I think it's saying. And so where Demas went with the world, Paul is going with the word. And that's where his comfort is. And that's kind of the message this morning. But I want to go to Isaiah 55. That's the message, and God's word hopefully sinks in here. Think of this mission going on. Think of Paul's mind being on people that we are one in the body of Christ. And think of our comfort being the word. So Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to read the whole thing. But I want you to think about it a little bit differently than we've done before. It's talking about God's word. But let's remember the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. Isaiah 55, verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has, get this, no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's grace. That's grace. You see it? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? That's self-righteousness. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David, the new covenant in his blood. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Think of Paul's mission to the Gentiles. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, while the day is still today. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God is merciful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You cannot get to me, but I can reach you. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Think of Jesus Christ here. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish on the cross that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It is finished. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Creation rejoices. Instead of the thorn that was pressed into Jesus Christ's brow and that came up for Adam, shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The mission goes on. And if you would please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 1, 1 through 7, and then I'll skip to 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One mission, Paul's mind's on people because the head has a body. When two or more are gathered, Jesus says, then he's with them. You ever wonder about that? Does that imply Jesus isn't with us when we're alone? No. But there is a special communion with God when we are together. We all have an end of watch. And the mission will go on. Thank God for that. It's his mission. And we get to play a part. Give some consideration to what will be on your mind at your end of watch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for showing up. I wasn't sure what you were going to say. May it accomplish what you want. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.